The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome everyone to September's edition of the EvoStick NPL show. We're here back at the Heat and Hop in South Manchester. Oh, Birka, you have a question.
Did we not have the September one at the start of...
No, that was August. These are like kind of looking back, but also at the same time looking forward. So
it's not like a magazine then, where they always publish it about 2 months in advance.
No, we're not quarterly. We're monthly. We're finger on the pulse over a 30-day period. That's what we're here for. Around the table, we've got Berkey from Radio Manchester 26-0.
Hello.
We've got Aaron Flanagan from The Mirror.
Hello.
We've got Simo from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian.
Hello.
We've got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group.
Evening.
And living non-league legend, we've got Roy Sewell.
Good evening, folks.
We should say Alan sends his apologies. He's taking photographs of steam trains in Whitby. So that's why Alan's not here. But September's, we're now reached 10 games for a lot of teams. And you know what they say about 10 games, don't you, Berke?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's when it really means something, league positionings.
Well, this is the thing, Ben.
Can I just say something to you?
Please do.
Let me just whisper this quietly to you. Buxton are top.
Yeah, they won't be for long, though, will they? No, right, this is the thing with Buxton. They've been really... They are top of the league, but for me, they've been a little bit unconvincing. They're doing great at home, mind you. They've won 4 out of 5, not really conceding many goals. In fact, I think they've got the best defence in the division. But they're kind of struggling to get over the line a little bit. They played against Carby twice, took 4 points off them, but only just took four
points. Yeah, but how many... I'm going to be here for Buxton tonight.
They've won 2 out of the last 5.
How many people score against Carby?
Everyone, innit?
Yeah, only one goal at a time.
Well, Bavin Blythe, who scored 3 but still lost against them the other day. But I don't know, I'm not convinced. I think they'll be in the top half, I've no doubt about that. But I've just got a feeling the other team's going to catch them up soon, unless they just maybe... I've got a feeling they're a couple of players short, you know. I really do, and they still haven't necessarily replaced Liam Hardy. I know that's going to be the eternal thing that comes up. But they are spreading the goals around the team, which is a good thing too. So, I don't know, I just think they need to step on the accelerator a little bit at the moment.
Me and Roy saw Buxton play with Albion in the FA Cup, so it'd be interesting to know... Roy, what did you make of him?
Yeah, score-wise they did, and to be honest, play-wise as well. I did say previously... I'd seen them on the previous show, if I'm not mistaken, against Marine, and I just took it, you know, because they had a couple of players missing, that it was a bit of a lacklustre victory against Marine. But to be honest, it replicated itself against Witten, and this time Witten, you know, they took the goals really well, and ended up a 3-0 victory to them, you know. So Mike, I've got question marks on Buxton, to be honest, you know, as regards the resilience and the depth of the squad as well.
We talk about resilience, but there was that Ashton result last week. Mm-hmm. I was there. And Ashton took the lead, and it looked like Buxton were dead and buried, really. Buxton weren't really convincing at all. Second half came, and they dug out a victory and scored 2 goals in added time.
Is this where we get to say, where we get to put our pound in the cliche jar and say, well, Buxton, they're a team of two halves? Because they really are, aren't they? I mean, yeah. Against FC United a few years ago, that was probably the classic one where they absolutely pummeled you and then got absolutely pummeled in the second half. So I don't know, they've not quite got rid of that from the system yet. But they've got a few tough games coming up, you know. They've got Hensford, they've got Nantwich, Whitby, top of the table, Clash Warrington, Frickley, who've had that resurgence as well. Mm. So they've got a bit of a tough month coming up here, and this will be make or break from this early in the season.
One thing I would say about Buxton is that they don't concede goals. I know they lost, was it Colville they lost to at the start of the season? Someone near. I think they've only conceded twice in a game once. Yeah. Mm. And at the end of the day, if you're defending that well, you're going to be up there. And you've got to give him a bit of credit for how well they're defending.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim Ryan knows what he's doing there, doesn't he? Assistant manager. And they played about a billion games, didn't he, until he was about 43 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing that cropped up in conversation when I was speaking to the management at Buxton last week was just the Liam Hardy issue and how it's a regular theme for Buxton to have a good start and then for some players to get nabbed. Because of where they are geography-wise, they're literally surrounded by hotbeds of football, and anyone who's showing any promise, the scouts all just turn up and go, "We'll have him, we'll have him, we'll have him." And
I'd say that's right, but I'd also say that Buxton are a good club to play for. They look after the lads, they look after the team. So I don't always feel that that's the case, you know, unless it's an actual, you know, a big promotion for the player himself. He ain't going to go to a club that he can move sideways to. He'll stay at Buxton because it is a nice club.
And Silverland's a great away.
I don't want to do this to you, but I have to mention this, Aaron. Whitby Town are currently in second at the moment, and Aaron wants to play Whitby next season. You want them to come under the radar and get promoted, but you don't want us to highlight how good Whitby are at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment Whitby but have you can, played their games,
but you're also forgetting that Curzon might not be in the National League North next season, so this, you know, you've got a lot of things to consider here before we'll do Whitby. But in the last six games, Whitby are the most informed side in the league.
But at the same time, I still think they've huffed and puffed. But one thing that they've got to their advantage is they keep going right to the line. The amount of last minute goals they've got is ridiculous. Out of the six wins, though, only one of them has been by more than one goal. That was against Strickley when they beat them 4-0. So it's, I don't know, you can't say it's a false position, because it's clearly not. They're having a brilliant season so far. I just don't expect them to sustain it, unfortunately. I really don't. I think this team's blown Blythe, Hensford, Spennymoor, who are going to overtake them in due course. It's just how quickly that due course is. But they've got a good run of fixtures coming up. They're playing against three of the bottom five here. We've got Sutton, Skem, Grantham coming. I've done my research today, as you can tell.
He's got a pad and everything.
Yeah, I know. Well, the thing is, I've only done the top six, so after this, I've got no idea.
They're a team that nobody will ever fancy for being up in the playoffs.
No.
For maybe, I won't say obvious reasons, but maybe from past experience. And to be there at this moment in time, to me, it shows that they might have sorted one or two things out, you know, as regards the style of football that they play. Also, I'll get back to the other fact that, you know, the visiting teams that come there, and, you know, the lads that maybe is signed, you know, right the way through, and I'm not aware of every single one, but, you know, they're up in the Northern League, and maybe some of those lads just fancied a bit of a change.
As we said earlier in a previous show, that it's difficult for Whitby, because even though they are technically in that Northern area, it's a bit out of the heartlands of the Northern League, so it's...
It is, but, yeah, you know, the fact is, like,
players from them in,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But again, like Buxton, they're well thought of as a club.
Yeah.
They look after the players. Mm-hmm. They look after, you know, the team. The Speckies, as do the Buxton ones, you know, they go and support the lads.
We're going to ignore Blythe for the time being. During the break, at the end of part one, we've got an interview with Mark Carruthers. So we'll lead into that by discussing Blythe.
It's always a good interview with
part one. Yeah. So in fourth position at the moment, we've got Hensford Town, and Hensford
expected.
Have adapted. Is it expected?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Go on, James.
I was going to say, I've said it for the last 3 weeks on the extra. It would seem that I used this vision just now. I said it last week, month as well. They know what to prepare for, honestly. And at the end of the day, they can do it.
It looks like they're going to be doing a Workington this season, challenging straight
definitely.
From...
I think they actually came down last year. They were very poorly managed on the pitch last year. They were, and they actually had a reasonable budget for the Conference North last year.
Decent players as well, though. Maybe
there's no reason why coming down. I assume they've probably cut the budget a little bit, but it was still such a reasonable budget that you expect them to come down and be challenging. Because at the end of the day, for this level, they're quite a big team.
Yeah, definitely.
They've got a lad scoring a few goals as well, haven't they?
He's
always helps you, you know, to have someone banging them in.
And he's outscoring Danny Glover as well, who's probably getting too old for this. Sorry. No. Well, they've got Danny Glover there, who's getting into a bit of form as well. One thing about Hensford is they're getting too many draws at the moment. I think that'll turn around, and I do expect them to be certainly in the playoffs at the end of the season.
But then again, to have the form they're having at the moment, again, they've not lost since the middle of August. It's not a bad thing to be goal a month unbeaten.
No, and you know what? The run of games they've got coming up is quite exciting. They've got three of the top six to play, and then they've got to play four of the bottom four, that's not all of the bottom four because they've got to play Sutton twice, and they can really pick up a shed load of points this coming month, and we'll really see where we are properly at the end of October, I think.
Now, Spennymoor Town. We mentioned Spennymoor Town. We're going to have an impact on the league this season. It looks like they have. They've bedded in quite nicely. Decent point midweek against Blyth as well. And looking good for them, isn't it? To at least make a chance for the playoffs this season.
Yeah, and they've done something I didn't expect of them this season as well. They've really tightened up at the back. They've only conceded two in the last five, got second best defence in the division. And they're not maybe scoring as many as I would have expected from them. But they're doing well. They've got Charlie in the Cup on Saturday as well.
Cover that impact.
I thought we might. Yeah, they're having a buzzing season so far.
Great draw, Charlie.
Absolutely.
I think we touched on it last month, but it's probably worth reinforcing that Jason Ainsley was quite brave in the summer. A lot of teams, when they get promoted, stick with the core of players, stay faithful, all the cliches, give them a chance to prove themselves at the next level. But he was really brave in that he made a lot of changes, some for, some not, brought new players in, and the fact that they've gelled as quickly as they have, and I mean, they've got two games in hand on Bucks, and they can draw a level with them if they win them. Yeah. And they're still in the FA Cup. I mean, it's an absolute dream start to the season if you're a Spennymoor supporter, and he deserves a lot of credit for being quite courageous, really, in doing that.
No. Well, the thing is, it's good management, isn't it?
Yeah,
more than anything.
Definitely.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, what I always try and do, from my own personal point of view, is look at the level I want to be at, and I bring in players accordingly to play at that level. If that's the case, then they should automatically take care of the level that they're actually playing at. You know, they're aspiring to get to that next level because they've had the experience of it. But what I'd say with Jay is that what he's done is, because it's a fairly tightly knit catchment area up there, you know, with the Northern League and what have you, I don't think they really need to settle in. I think they all know one another, yeah. You know, and they know the qualities. So what he's doing is just, accommodating buddies, friends and playmates, you know, at one venue.
And they've got a relatively kind fixture list coming up as well in October, yeah. As well, mainly mid-table teams who won't want to play them because they'll have seen how well they're doing this season. In fact, here's a funny old stat for you. Out of the top five, there's only one defeat at home between a lot of them so far. Mm. There you go.
A good start.
It's all right, thank you.
Goodness. Yeah.
Oh, the last one from me today.
Just let me take time.
Well, I've only got Rushall left, and then I'm out for the rest.
Can I just say that Berkey jabbed his pen down in satisfaction.
He did, didn't he?
It's great. It's a great one.
But you know what? Everyone at home did as well. Everyone
went.
They all patted the fire, didn't they? Went, well played, Berkey.
Glad James didn't say that thing because he got that wrong as well. That trick.
If Spennymoor deserved credit, then the next team deserve credit as well. Rushall Olympic.
I thought you were going to say they deserve no credit whatsoever.
With the second most informed team behind Whitby at the moment, they're doing all right, Roy, aren't they?
Yeah, Rushall. He must have a very good technical coach behind him. So
every month,
you know, well done to the chairman.
It's good though. What Rushall are doing this season. I mean, it could have gone horribly wrong for them, and it's proven not to be the case in the first nine games.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember when Curzon were in the league a couple of years back, and it was just the place you didn't want to go. It's just an intimidating. When I say an intimidating ground, it's just not glamorous. You know, not many teams go there and they want to play there.
Let me just interrupt you. Yeah. It has the best press facilities in the entire
NPL.
I'd go
along with that. Yeah, it does.
Back to you, Aaron. I'm just teeing it up. You get soup at half time, which no other.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What kind of soup?
Well, it's
that sort of water.
Does it have cream in it?
It was cream.
Well, this is the problem. I'm allergic to cream, so it could have killed me.
See what I mean?
It's very intimidating. You buy a burger. It's very intimidating. Even the food is intimidating.
We'll let you know when we're going again.
Go on,
Aaron. No, I'd say it's just the place where you don't want to go. Like, the team traditionally is. Don't play the prettiest football. The pitch there doesn't give you the ability to play great football. You know, and they use it to their advantage. But they've got a lad scoring goals.
Alex Reid.
I was going to say the name baffles me, but it's probably in your list of notes.
I remembered it anyway. He scored 8 goals this season, 3 in the last 3. He's flying.
Good notes.
Cheers, mate.
But no, it's. It's
all right.
They took a gamble. And so far it's paying off, but you've got to remember how close the teams below them are. Like, you look all the way down to Stourbridge in like 12th, 13th, they're only about 2-3 points behind them. It's,
I mean, the only thing you can say about Rushall is if that relatively easier start from teams above him at this moment in time. The only game that you can really say that's been really challenging was midweek. No, well, Spennymoor and Ashton the other night. Again, where I said it would be matched, it was match of the week, because then it was proven. Let's be honest.
Yeah, happy with honest about that.
Yeah,
I love a good honest pundit.
Yeah, the average responded to getting tonked by Spennymoor, to be fair. Because we're all kind of looking, maybe going there. You go, and then they've strung two wins back together. So that is,
It's what they're going to do against the Blythes, the Henderson, when it comes up. So if everyone seems to have them bunched together this year for some bizarre reason, I don't know why. But everyone's got like a run of easy games, so-called easy games, so-called hard games.
I don't think they exist this season. I know it's a cliche, and every league says that. Yeah. But I think genuinely at the moment, anyone could beat anyone. Ashton United, they've taken new management duo there. It's always going to be tricky. They've had a number of players moved on away from the club. They've adapted all right, considering.
Well, no, they've not.
All right.
I mean, two defeats.
Three in a row.
All right, fine. Just being nice to them because I like them both. They're nice people. Anyway,
it was a stinker from the other day. They conceded two goals in injury time to lose against Buxton. Whoever it was, Buxton, that's right.
Oh, is there?
See, well, the thing is, that's not on my notes now. And the thing is, no one likes to know it all, so I'll be quiet for the rest of the show.
I'll just do that swampy finger, just blag it.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll let Teagot blag it because they're being co-managed now by. Joe DeBannon, but legend at Radcliffe Borough.
Yeah. Well, not just legend at Radcliffe, in NPL altogether. So again, someone who knows what he's doing, and he's teamed up with Will Haining again, another player who's done.
The players, they're not managers.
I know they're not managers,
but they have made some good signings at the same time.
But they're losing games.
Yeah, I know, but they've got Dom Smalley from Salford on dual reg, which for me is an absolutely phenomenal signing. He's just coming back from a long term injury, but if he can get his legs motoring again,
I mean, there's nothing to stop them to signing on at some point in the season as well, because that's game, both of them on the day.
He scored. What is the aim for Ashton now though? Because obviously they were going for promotion, going for winning the league. Now they've had all the change.
Based on the interview, is it promotion?
Still promotion. Really?
Still promotion. They want to win the title. If they can't win the title, they'll take the playoffs. They want to go as high as finishes high. This was their quotes. Want to finish as high as they can.
Like I say, they've got Colville coming up this week, but then you had defeats to Buxton, defeats to Rushall, defeats to Whitby. Three teams were on form at the moment against management, a new management team. Be interested again, let's see what they do with the next three, which are Colville, Helzo, and Grantham.
And the thing I picked up on, I'll come to you in a second, was the fact that Ashton were in control in that first half against Buxton. And then Martin McIntosh literally made those three goals. I was stood behind the dugout. He was coaching every single individual player and making those particular moves that scored those goals happen, which is incredible.
Was it like FIFA on the wing?
It was like a mix of Championship Manager 102, and he was there moving things about, individual coaching. It was remarkable, and I think that's just experience, I think. Anyway, back to you, Sim.
No, I want to ask Roy what he thinks of this increasing trend in non-league of clubs appointing joint managers.
And not just joint managers, joint player managers, isn't it? Well, because I think isn't Will Haining still registered?
My thoughts on it.
What do you think? Does it work? Would you ever do it?
I wouldn't personally do it, no, because I have confidence in my own abilities.
Right.
But what I would say is that I'd definitely make sure I had someone as a right hand man that I could rely on to do certain things that would be required, but. You see, you say it's a little trend at this moment in time. I mean, I see Philo, Steve, I see Bernard, I see Jono, and then after that, there's very few. Now, those two in particular are very good friends, and I think that is a big factor of it. I've known Will Haining since he was at Oldham Athletic, brought him down with Ronnie, you know, my buddy, my sidekick at Oldham when I was there. As a chief scout, and we brought him down as a 14-year-old from Celtic Boys Club, and you know, Will, like you've pointed out, he's still a player in his mind, so he's going to have to settle down and learn another side of the game and forget the playing side, because you know, rather than a bit of enjoyment, now he's going to have a little bit of misery on occasions.
There is a couple. I mean, Kidsgrove
I've looked today. Matlock have got joint managers and Workington have as well. But even within a duo, someone still surely has to have the final say, though. How does that work?
I think that's more the I think that's an acceptance between friends.
Right. Okay.
You know, that's
we
why
might
I
not
say.
Know that, but they'll
yeah, they'll know which one will take the format, and what the other one will do is, you know, listen and take into account, and then they come to a mutual agreement. They've got to do. It's the only way it can work.
I'll see you, Ashton United. I'll see you, Salford City. I'll see you, Workington, and I'll raise your Ashton Athletic in the North West Counties League, who have got three managers. So there you go.
Three?
Three. Yeah. I had Jay Folds, one of the managers, in on the show the other week, and I said, how's that working? And he went, it just sort of works. So
he went,
which, fair enough, it does sort of work from the...
Oh. Didn't Warrington have three managers at the end of last season when there's the caretaker spell?
Oh. Kind of. I think Stu Mellish was still
having...
He was the senior.
That's the top seven done. We'll cover off some of the... It's difficult at the minute because, like we said, Micklover and Warrington are on the same number of points as Ashton United, so it's a bit unfair, but I'm going to draw a line there because we need to discuss Blyth.
Yes.
Now...
Ooh. Now, we're going to be discussing with Mark Carruthers, who you might remember used to be the press officer at Blyth, still good friends with a lot of people at the club, and he's the editor of the Non-League Daily, and we're going to speak to Mark in a second with his thoughts. Tom Wade's gone, well, not totally gone, but he's taken a step back. Alan Armstrong's taken over. It's a weird one.
What a peculiar choice to step down it was, though. They lost that FA Cup game to Marpeth. Then they lost the next one against Frickley, who no one saw coming. I dread to think the amount of coupons that one lost. Not mine, of course, because I'm not allowed to bet on in a football club. But, but there you go. And since then, they've gone on to lose to Carby. They drew 0-0 with Spennymoor, which is actually not a bad result
steady
at all.
Ship, I thought, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the defeat against Carby, it was only in the last minute after coming from, I think it was 3-1 down, so...
We predicted that though last week.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Said Corby won 5-0 in their Northamptonshire Senior Cup match, yeah. Which
well,
I think proves they turned the corner.
It's
they beat Peterborough. They beat Peterborough North Star 5-0. So I thought that's it now. Corby found the goal scoring boots. Anyway,
I just think this is a temporary blip for him. I really do. They still scored the most goals in the division. They've got the best goal difference, and. All right, Tom's taken a back seat for the time being, or well, whether he'll come back or not, who knows?
He says not.
Fair enough. But I think they'll eventually get that back together. The players will be stunned. I mean, we were all surprised. Mm. Imagine what the fans were like. Imagine what the players, imagine what the backroom staff were like. They'd have been, what, really?
The players are still there, though. How much of an impact is it to lose the manager? Is it recoverable if you've got, like... a guy who has a proven track record at academy level for coaching players come in?
I would say, personally, I think the answer to that question is in Tom Wade, you know, at the end of the day. He was a bit of a fixture there, and a well-liked fixture as well, you know, by speckies and by players, respected by the players. I think by bringing the new lad in Armstrong, like, you know, what he's going to do, he's going to have to win their respect, isn't he? And win their loyalties, I would say, as a manager. That comes with time. They are good players. You know, good players don't go bad overnight. What they do is they get a little bit stale, or they get a little bit complacent. And he's going to have to, you know, work on what he feels the formation and style he wants to play as a manager. And then he has to sort out whether or not those players can slot into that type of football. Because that's what it's all about. It's not about you wanting to go and play a 4-4-2 or a 4-3-3, whichever. It's about whether the players that you have, you know, can accommodate into it and give you, you know, a little bit of strength and solidity.
What we think of the title race, we've always said Blyth are favourites. Surely, if you've hired a rookie manager who's got to find his feet, like you say, does this make it more open than it maybe was before?
Dead. And on that note, we've got to draw a line. Got a Division 1 show to do.
A little bit. But what I will say is quality always comes to the top, and it will come to the top with Blyth.
So, enough about this speculation around this table 300 miles away. It's now time to go straight to the north of England, the proper north, the almost Scotland area. Mark Carruthers from Non-League Daily to discuss Blyth Spartans in more depth.
Good evening, Mark.
It's big news, this. Tom Wade taking a step back. Alan Armstrong coming in. This week, there's been a few shaky results of late, but this week the ship has seemed to have been steadied with a very credible 0-0 draw against Spennymoor. What's your take on though on Tom Way's departure? Because it is really big news this season thus far.
Well, I think firstly we should pay tribute to the job that Tom did when Spartans took over the club. They were looking at a consecutive relegation, to be honest, from the Conference North as it was then. They had a horrendous season, were relegated in the Evostick League club, in the Evostick League. And then it looked as if they were going to go into the First Division North. Tom took over and kind of steadied the ship a bit. And then his first full season, they went on this playoff charge with a very young side, which was because, you know, the budget got cut and he had to kind of do things differently, got rid of the high earners, and a few players took wage cuts, which was great. And they had this fresh feel about the squad. And off the pitch as well, you know, Tom embraced everything. He helped the supporters club set up the club shop. And I mean, literally, he was there sort of 9 o'clock on a Thursday night fitting windows, which was quite funny. He's been the catalyst for a lot of change. The media team grew under his sort of tenure at the club. The social club's been completely overhauled. So it's not just on the pitch, it's off the pitch that he's had a real impact. But his departure for me, it's a sad one in many ways because he is a Blyth lad. You know, he's born and raised in the town. He grew up supporting the club, going to games. I've had many a conversation with him about games in the 1978 Cup run that he attended. And then, of course, got to manage the club through an FA Cup run as well, which was, you know, great times for everyone in the town. So it's a sad one because it brings to an end one of the better managerial reigns over the last sort of 30 years at the club. I think the reasons given were obviously that he'd taken the club as far as he could or he felt he had. I'm not sure everyone would agree with that. But Tom he's a man of principle, and I think he just felt it was maybe the right time. Personally, I think that, you know, there are issues with a very small minority of supporters at Croft Park who take issue with his son playing. And I dare say it, and this is purely just my opinion, that's possibly had a little part to do with it as well.
Now, you mentioned, Tom Wade's relationship with the club over the years and that kind of thing.
Yes.
To me, we've been doing this show now 4 years, and to me, he's Mr. Blyth Spartans. You talk about the FA Cup run a couple of seasons ago, superb. The 99 points tally last season, which I think is... No one's got that high in the past 20 or, well, it's certainly 15 years or so, and not got promoted. So that was an epic achievement in itself. This season, it seemed to everyone around the table at the Heating Up that essentially this is Blyth Spartan season. I've not seen so much people convinced about who's going to win the title this year since FC United won it a couple of seasons ago. It was nailed on Blyth. It's a shame, isn't it? Really? Tom could have took him a step further.
Unquestionably. I mean, if you look at the squad this year, last year I think they kind of fell down near the end of the season simply because they didn't have the strength and depth. And, you know, let's be honest here, we need to pay tribute to Darlington as well because they put together an unbelievable run of form. I think it was 13 wins out of 15 at the end of the season, something daft like that. But, I think in terms of Tom, I personally think he could have taken the next step. He's got the respect of the dressing room. And most of all, he's got the respect of the directors. You mentioned the relationship that he's got. I don't know if many people know this, but Tom actually lives one door away from one of the directors, and he lives three doors away from the chairman. So
there's a sitcom there.
Yeah, there is. but it was widely covered by the BBC that, you know, they had that sort of, I think it was Daily Mirror as well, that they had that close relationship off the pitch as well. It's sad because they've improved every single season under Tom in league position. So as you say, if you're going off last season, this year it should be there, if that trend carried on. But there is a strength and depth now. You know, the last year they played mainly with Dan Maguire up front through not having many other options. This year they've got three strikers who can play in that role. And it's just a sad one because this squad, the kind of key players, the Maguires and the Buddles and players like that, And you know, Robbie Dale and Stephen Turnbull have been there for a long time. They've all kicked on under Tom's watch. You know, he's helped them progress as players, along with the various coaches he's had working with them. So it's sad because he won't get to see, other than the fact he will probably be attending games anyway, supporting his son Matthew. He won't get to see the kind of the fruit of his labour, I guess, reach their potential.
He's had a part to play in the succession management of this. Alan Armstrong's come in from Middlesbrough's academy. Obviously, I think Middlesbrough's youth products over the last 5 years or so demonstrate what the work that's gone on there at Middlesbrough's academy over the years. He's obviously a manager of good calibre. Never managed at this level, though. But Tom's agreed to stick around and advise Alan and help him settle into the role as well, I believe.
Yeah, I think Tom personally would be like, I don't know how this will sound, but I think he'd rather work in the shadows in that sense. You know, he doesn't want to be showing his face around games too much. I think it's more a case of if Alan wants help, Tom will be there, you know, for a phone call or whatever, which again speaks volumes for Tom Wade. The appointment of Alan is an interesting one. He's never had a managerial role in the senior game, so it's a great opportunity for him. They've got a very new coach in Neil Hooks, who moved across from a playing position at the start of the season into the assistant manager's role. But my theory on this Spartan squad is that they don't necessarily need managed. I think they know what the club expects now, then they know what the supporters expect. It's purely a coaching role that's required. So to bring in someone who's coached it, as you rightly say, a very strong academy, arguably one of the best academies in England, I would say, given what they've produced. He's clearly got the right credentials to be a head coach, maybe more than manager, which I think personally is what the Spartan squad needs, because Tom, by his own admission, is a manager, not a coach. He admits that I think I've heard a number of occasions when he said to me that he doesn't think he is a coach and he can't coach, which I'm sure isn't true, but I think it's a really interesting appointment, and I'm intrigued to see how it works out.
Well, it's going to be both interesting and intriguing over the coming months to see how Blyth adapt to the new coaching setup at the club. But Mark Rovers, thanks for joining us. Just a quick plug for the Non-League Daily and what's coming up in the coming week.
Yeah, we've obviously a big focus on the FA Cup. We're starting to get towards the business end of the qualifying rounds. Saturday, I'll be at Spennymoor more town. Actually, they host Chorley, which should be a great tie.
Chorley's
one of, yeah, it's got to be up there, hasn't it? It's going to be an interesting one. Obviously, I saw Chorley at Dunstan up here in the last round. They were very impressive. But you look at the squad that Jason Ainsley's put together at Spennymoor. It's going to be a tough task for Chorley, I think. But yeah, in terms of Non-League Daily, we're covering you know, across the country in terms of the FA Cup. I'm about to do an interview with Dave Webb from one of the best names in non-league football, Swindon Supermarine. That we're covering their game at Welling, so I'm about to interview him, and then there'll be a few big interviews coming up over the coming weeks to keep an eye out for.
Well, Matt Carruthers from the Non-League Daily, thank you for joining us this week on the EvoStick NPL show, and you have a lovely week.
Welcome back to the EvoStick NPL show for September. Round the table, just go back to the start of the show and relive the whole thing, including the introduction, to find out who's here.
It was a good intro, actually.
It was a good intro. Evening, everyone.
Ben,
yes.
Just say,
yes?
It's not the Heat and Hop, it's the award-winning
Heat and Hop. Yes, the award-winning here in North Stockport, / South Manchester. In the third part of the show, we're going to be covering all the FA Cup fixtures this weekend involving NPL sides. But before that, just a quick mention here for the teams who we've not mentioned thus far. Now, Mikulova, we mentioned it every week pretty much on EvoStick Extra. Doing brilliantly at the moment. Mm-hmm, anyone disagreeing?
No, it's still good. Going well.
Warrington Town have improved. Got better.
Yeah, a little bit of a slip last night, though, weren't it, against Nantwich, conceding 3 goals in the last 7-8 minutes. Sean Cook, where's he come from this season? And blimey, Charlie's second highest goal scorer.
From FC.
I know he's from FC, but any an attacking midfielder, he's not an out-and-out forward.
The next two games for them will decide their season, I reckon. They've got Corby and Blythe.
What? Their whole season?
It's October!
No, you know,
in fact, it's still September when we record this.
Yeah, we're not talking about Ratcliffe now, James.
Right, so that's Warrington. Matlock Town are doing well?
Yeah, they've picked expensive. Up, haven't they?
Yeah. Marine?
The fans are nice.
Swampy's here. Hello, Swampy. How are you?
Oh, hello! Hello, Shanghai! No, they're doing... probably where they should have been the last couple of seasons, rather than scrabbling about near the bottom. Where
yeah, it's still an improvement, isn't it? So, yeah, you know...
I mean, like I said, it might be urgent quickly. What do you expect from...
Stourbridge.
They'll pick up.
Workington, they are picking up.
Picking up, but again, not where they should be at this time of the year, especially if after the last couple of seasons.
Well. Yeah, well, they've lost Kazan, certainly, and I think they'll be top end of mid-table.
Nantwich Town, they've improved as well.
They have, but they've still got a lot to prove in my eyes.
They'll keep going. But I think the budget's decent, squad's decent, everything there suggests that they're going to keep rising.
And they're unbeaten away from home, but they haven't picked up a win yet on their own turf. That'll come, and once they do pick up that first win, they'll start motoring.
Hales Owen have dramatically improved over the last month.
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
but we said that, didn't we, when they start getting players back from injury and they get over the pre-season, they had that.
One comment I saw about Hales Owen from the derby when they played Stourbridge a couple of weeks ago is the kind of the battling...
Excuse me, it's the number 9 derby.
The number 9 derby, sorry. But the battling performance that Hales Owen put in, apparently they...
Well, he's got two goals in 10 minutes, in the first 10 minutes.
And yeah, crowd of 1,500 as well on a Monday night.
Brilliant.
Who needs Salford and Darlington? The crowd, by the way, this month have been superb. Yeah. There's been regular 500 plus at a lot of games this season. Barwell.
What a nice burger.
Above Barwell or Grantham. This is remarkable.
Oh, no. Grantham are below Barwell. Ben, yeah, come on, you'll be causing riots here in the
minutes. No,
what did I say? That's exactly what I just said.
You said, you said Grantham were above Barwell.
Oh, sorry. Barwell are being Barwell, and below them is Grantham Town, who are being Grantham Town.
That's quite right.
Grantham scored 5 on, was it either last night or Saturday, when I was looking through the results earlier. They scored 5, didn't they? I've not just seen that.
You know what?
Seen things.
Grantham are being better than Grantham.
Plus the fact they've just had a Brazilian striker as well, so we know how well. Yes, that's all. 3 hours ago.
One team I am happy about is Frick Athletic.
I'll tell you what.
Great turnaround from what they've had.
Lee Morris, when he came in, I thought, what a peculiar signing that is, because he'd been at Goole, they were dreadful, they were anchored to the bottom of the First Division North, and they looked like they were there to stay. However, he's come in, they've picked up 3 wins from absolutely nowhere with pretty much the same squad that was there previously. He's done a great job.
Said on the extra, the Blythe game would be crucial if they can get some out of it, and they managed to get a good win out of it as well. So,
that's a big boost, isn't it? You're not made at the end of the day. A great win.
No one was expecting it, would it? So.
The confidence goes through the roof, doesn't it, with the players? They know they're capable of beating anybody.
Stafford Rangers.
Yeah, funny one, isn't it?
Weird.
Can't win.
Weird. Very, very weird.
They've drawn 60% of the game.
Have you just made that up?
Well, it's very simple because they played 10 and they drawn 6.
Brilliant. Sorry. Oh, how naive am I? Anyway, can anyone put the finger on it? I mean,
they're not quite good enough yet. They'll get there.
Colville Town, they've been a bit iffy recently. Mm. Every time I look, they've been beaten.
They've had a rubbish month.
That's because they've been playing away.
What's the percentages of that, Burke?
80% of games they've lost away. They've lost 4 out of 5 away. It's very simple mathematics. In fact, really, it's arithmetic. But at home,
very
still
educational, this podcast.
Oh, thank you. But it's another team. Sorry, you're all right. I was looking at it wrong.
Wanted to put that in.
I tell you what, we'll do it again.
Hang on.
25% they've lost.
But old football,
they've lost 75% of games. Hang on, what did I say? Yeah.
Jesus.
Don't blaspheme, because this is now going in. Go on.
Ben.
Yeah?
60% of the game.
Just seeing a professional broadcaster go under. Go on, keep going.
I'm a rank amateur. Ben.
Yes.
It's very important to know. You say you've been seeing them losing left, right, centre.
It's all going in.
They've lost 75% of the games away from home. That's 3 out of 4. I was looking at Corby. They both begin with CO, don't they?
Good
the
segue.
Town,
Corby so. Town. Played nine. Scored 6. Conceded 9. They're my favourite team in the whole league.
I'll tell you what, Ben.
Yes.
They've lost 80% of the games away from home. But they're still unbeaten on the home ground.
However, they're finally scoring goals.
Yes.
Exactly, especially in the Northamptonshire Senior Cup.
Yeah.
And against Blythe.
And against Blythe.
It says a lot when... Yeah, they've lost... They're literally on a losing streak since April until the Blythe game.
What percentage is that?
Quite a lot.
Let's draw a line under this because it would be a long night otherwise. We talked about Corby and we said that they spoke to the Buxton manager because they'd just played Corby twice, as it happens, and, you know, wanted to know how they play. Apparently, they're difficult to beat. Who knew? Well, is that the bedrock for a side who could go places later on in the season if they could just sort the goal scoring out?
What it does, it gives them a basis to work off, you know, definitely, because if they're difficult to play against, they're difficult to beat, they're difficult to score against. With teams like that, though, they very rarely entice entertaining forwards to come towards them and or to play for them, should I say. So that might be a little bit of a problem area, you know, actually getting players in of decent quality to complement what they're doing at the back.
Again, they've only conceded one goal a game, except for the Blythe match.
So played nine, conceded nine.
Yeah,
exactly. Good maths. Enjoyed that. So
a ratio 1-1.
That's true. The bottom three at the moment, we've got Skelmersdale United, who are on the same number of points as Corby Town, obviously, but Skelmersdale United are there in the bottom three.
They've had a major injury issue at the moment. Yeah. At this moment in time. They've had to bring Phil Priestley from North West Counties, who's 41 years old, to play last night.
Sutton Coldfield are currently second from bottom.
It's weird, though, isn't it?
Well, we were basically saying, obviously, it's because the 3G pitch needed maintenance and they were playing out at Eastwood, but the home farms... Not too bad, to be honest.
How many times you see that?
Yeah.
Team in the bottom two unbeaten home. Well, just look up a couple of places. You've got Corby unbeaten home in bottom four, but away from home, it tells the story, doesn't it? They're absolutely dreadful. They've lost five out of the six, and I can't do the arithmetic on that because...
83.3.
And finally, Ilkeston. Now, to be fair...
Recently, great win.
Yeah. Ilkeston, they've only played six games. They're having a good cup run. They've got over the pre-season now, it would appear, towards the end of September. They've now started the league season proper.
They were a bit mean beating Ashby Ivanhoe, though, weren't they?
I was expecting more from that club over the course of the next rounds in the FA Cup. But Ilkeston, that's false position. Obviously, bottom is, but
four games behind everybody else, aren't they? And only maybe two wins, you know, from popping out of the bottom four. So
the thing is, if you extrapolate the games here, they've played six. If they'd have played nine or ten, if you carry on that form, they'd still only be on 7 points, which is the same as the three clubs above them. So. Mm.
What has happened to you lot? You've never done this before. Started doing actual proper maths.
No, we do. You know, we're trying to be proper pundits here. You know, we're doing
that.
Have you
been watching BT Sport with those Guardian journalists? Is that what this is?
What's going on here? The thing is, we're actually being allowed to say something because Swampy is 3,000 miles away.
Boom. Take that, Swampy, and that is staying in the show. Right, so...
Of course, also, they were a couple of minutes away from beating Henson until the abandonment as well.
That is the end of part two. Obviously, we're not making any predictions at the moment about anyone in the bottom half of the table because a few wins and you're up at the top half, so it's a waste of time.
I'm saying Skemmer getting relegated. There you
are. Really?
I'm going for it.
Okay.
You look really pleased about that as well.
Put your Twitter handle out as well, are you there? Go on.
I'm going to give you some nuts.
That is the end of part number two of the EvoStick NPL show. Coming up is an advert, and then straight after that, we've got our little third qualifying round FA Cup preview.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like. From EvoStick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the EvoStick League this year?
The EvoStick League?
Yeah, EvoStick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from EvoStick. Proud sponsors of the EvoStick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new EvoStick app.
Welcome back to part three of the EvoStick NPL show. Round the table, we've got Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. We've got Roy Sewell.
Good evening.
We've got NPL Facebook group's very own James Hayes.
Evening.
We've got Ian Burke from 26-0 and Radio 5 Live. Radio Manchester.
Hello, everyone.
And Aaron Flanagan from The Mirror.
Hello.
But back to the NPL Facebook group.
Yeah.
Your correspondence, please, what we asked them.
So basically, the question was...
You were lazy this month. Very lazy.
Yeah, but it seems we don't have a wall of correspondence.
I actually tutted when I read it. I went... Go on.
So basically, because we've not had a wall of correspondence the last couple of weeks, just said, your normal thoughts, what have gone on so far this season. So starting with Jonathan Wood of Scarborough. After 10 games, we've got the same record as last year, but I predict we'll finish well above the 20th position of the previous season. Ian Loomis, Gresley unbeaten in 7. Don't think anyone saw that coming.
I didn't.
Ian Wilkinson, fantastic start for the Division 1 North side from Yorkshire. Look at Farsley Celtic, Bradhouse, Scarborough and Tadcaster. None of them will be far away, but if he's as a Farsley Celtic fan, they're going to be compete. Andrew Snaith, Whitby Town, loving it at the right end of the table for once as a Whitby fan.
Oh, I'm so happy for him.
Along with the Charlie Revolution. John Gare, Rugby Town, sitting absolutely rock bottom, no manager and scratch team. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
And don't have any pies.
And just to say...
He just said, oh, and bring pies at the bottom of that as well. And Mr. Mark Joyce, two unfashionable teams at the top with the Bucks before being top. We'll take that after some very poor performances against Ilkeston and Colville.
To the FA Cup third qualifying round now, and we should say on EvoStick's Division 1 show this month, we're going to have interviews with Bedworth United and Farsley Celtic as well to cover off some of them.
Go on, Bedworth!
Now, sorry Aaron, we'll come to that in a second. Looking at it, I think we've got a great chance of getting a plethora of teams through to the next round. We'll do this in alphabetical order.
Okay.
AFC Mansfield, it's Stamford. Nailed on Stamford, isn't it?
Mansfield have only knocked out two NPL sides so far, so I reckon they'll, but again, Stamford aren't necessarily doing the best in Division 1 South at the moment, so who knows.
AFC Mansfield are on upwards trajectory, aren't they? And I like Stampy, so I want Stamford to win, so we'll go for Stamford. I will anyway. You lot can make your own mind up.
I think it would be a tough time
after a replay. Stamford after a replay.
Mansfield straight out.
Either way, whoever wins that game, they will be the team that everybody wants to draw in the final qualifying round.
Absolutely.
That was really optimistic.
No, goodness sake.
You know,
Curzon Ashton against Bedworth United. Your dad has never gone past this stage in the FA Cup, ever.
Ever. And
I don't know if that's true or not.
No, it's true.
His son told me.
It's true. What I would say is that, obviously, Curzon, we haven't won a game at home this season. We drew at home to Consett from the Northern League in the last round of the FA Cup, and you know, confidence is a little low. So, you know, and Bedworth seem like they can score goals. I know I'm not doing Curzon a load of justice here, but they've got a chance.
Oh, behave yourself. You've got more than a chance there, Aaron.
You've got
some cracking players there. I'll be honest, I don't know the first thing about Bedworth. I don't really know where it is. But I do know that Curzon.
Welcome to the Northern Premier League, Bedworth United.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know where it is. They were
in the Southern Premier last season and got relegated from the Southern Prem and now find themselves in Division 1 South. And they're actually doing all right, aren't they, in Division 1 South? Farsley Celtic are hosting the Slayers of Trafford, Bishop Auckland.
Slayers.
We did say on Evo Stick Extra, though, that game for Trafford was going to be a very tough game.
It was for Trafford, yeah.
And I think, am I right in saying Farsley Celtic are probably better equipped?
Yeah. They've got a great defensive record, haven't they? Only conceded, I think, 3 goals in the league this season. Bishop Auckland, all right, we know that the Northern League sides are a lot stronger than the other teams at Step 5, but... Farsley, I do think they'll have just enough to go past them. It'll be a narrow win, I think.
Yeah. So as we said in the Division 1 show this month, we will have interviews with Farsley Celtic and Bedworth United. And just to let you two know, Farsley Celtic and Bedworth United got a very good success rate. The last round, 75% of all our interviews went through to the next round. With one exception, Hyde United. Anyway,
which nobody was surprised about.
No, but then you gave it a good go.
We were absolutely robbed. The referee that day.
Oh my god!
He shouldn't referee again in his life. The referee again, England v Argentina, Maradona, the handball, and the god and all, the Tunisian guy. That fella should never, ever, ever be able to referee again in his life. It was the most blatant handball I've ever seen from Super Scotty Spencer. I loved to bits. It was never a penalty. I've seen the replay of it. I saw it in real time. It weren't a penalty, and I should be the ref. And I should be give Hyde all the decisions. But I've said this to Adam before when he's been on my show.
We should have automatons. We should have robots as referees who never cock it up. They should. And Aaron disagrees with me.
Some grounds can't even sell pies. What chance do you think we have of having robots?
The technology will be there in 50 years.
Berkey, where is everyone on holiday this year?
Moving along, we've got an all-NPL Premier Division affair in Halesowen Town against Nantwich Town. Start of the season, you would say Nantwich Town all day long, but it's not like that now.
I think it'd be a score draw, and I think Nantwich will beat them.
AFC Rushing Diamonds, we said a couple of weeks ago on Evostick Extra, though, that's the one of the sides in the NPL who are going to attract a lot of attention further they go in the competition. They've got Hendon. They've already beaten Concord Rangers, who were two divisions above them. They've got a good chance here, haven't they?
Well, the furthest an NPL side's got in the southern section of the draw ever, so all fair play to them so far.
I was going to say Hendon. Oh, aren't they all into rowing? Well, that's Henley, isn't it? Yeah. So, that's that.
I don't know enough about
it. Does anyone know where Hendon is?
It's down south. It's near London.
It's to the near west London.
It's to the west of London. It's west London, I'm sure it is. West London. It's near the river somewhere. Hendon are very, 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 very old club.
I don't know the
really olden days. They have a couple like 1875 or something like that.
No idea.
1908 they were founded.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. They're in the Isthmian, the Ryman League, Premier Division. Last season they finished 19th. In the Ryman. This season, Hendon, fourth from bottom.
They're going out.
So
I think Rushden Diamonds got a good chance. Moving along, good luck to Rushden Diamonds. We've also obviously we're guaranteed one side through with Halesowen against Nantwich. We're also guaranteed the second side through because it's Ilkeston hosting Stourbridge.
Well, that's going to be number 9 derby in a full qualifier round, isn't it? Watch that happen.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
It's an intriguing match, though, isn't it?
There's a local pride there in the Midlands sort of area. And I think, Ilkeston have an opportunity to maybe prove a few people wrong. We'll see what happens.
The FA Cup's what's brought Ilkeston back into the season. If they went out in the middle round, they'd still be in this little pre-season.
Wouldn't you do them a favour by getting up to the FA Cup now?
No,
they
need to stay as long as possible.
It feels like their season needs a spark, Ilkeston, and he's not had one yet.
But again, Stourbridge won't just turn over.
Stourbridge, comfortable win.
They love it as well, don't they?
Yeah.
They'd love another cup.
2-3-0.
Right, we've got Lancaster City against Kidderminster Harriers. Now, on paper, what did we say in that FA Cup preview? The one team we've got no chance, very little chance of getting through, was Lancaster City. Yeah. And I feel bad about interviewing the manager and jinxing them, even when they've got so much against them.
I'll keep my mouth quiet on this time.
They beat Darlington. FC United haven't even beaten Darlington this season.
They've gone on a tear since beating Hyde. There you are, it all comes down to the Tigers. They were out of the game, Hyde battered them, and then they scored two decent goals, I suppose, in the last 10 minutes. It just took them through, and there you are, it's just given them the impetus, knowing they can beat the mighty Tigers.
Now
they could go and beat the Quakers, and then go on and beat whoever else they've beaten. And they're looking good at the moment, Lancaster. They've got some decent players, you know, but I think Kidderminster, they're going great guns in the Conference North, the National League North, whatever. And I think they will have two. Aaron could tell you all about Kidderminster.
Kidderminster are full time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what was it, 7-0 on the opening day?
6-1, but I'm still having nightmares.
Yeah, exactly.
what do you reckon, Ryan?
I think I've seen Kidderminster play. I think they look professional in the way they apply themselves. The manager is well versed in tactics. And
you'd hope so.
Although I feel that I'd like to see Lancaster do well, which I think they will do, is scoreline. I can't see them getting battered on that field because it is a big pitch. I just feel that the big pitch scenario will suit Kidderminster, even though Lancaster are at home.
We mentioned Lancaster City and how well they did in the last round. Lincoln United, what performance that was, beating Dunedin.
It's a tough one for Lincoln because Handsworth are on good form in the counties at the moment.
Surely home advantage.
you'd think that, well, this is where we needed Alex McKenna, because again, he does watch Handsworth quite a lot as well.
There's quite a wide perception that Handsworth are going to win the Northern Counties East League this year. A lot of people believe that they're going to cruise it, so they're clearly a very, very good side.
They're the Runcorn winners of the North Counties League. Yeah. The thing is, whoever gets through, it'll be... I'm not sure how far Lincoln have ever got in the cup before, but...
They've got to the first round twice in the 90s.
Okay. But I'm sure it'll be the furthest that Handsworth have ever got in the cup. Yeah. And what an achievement for either side that'd be, to get to the fourth qualifying round, one step away. Imagine if they draw the winners of AFC Mansfield and Stamford.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
Now then, we're guaranteed a third side through. Matlock Town against Workington.
Workington.
The BBC Cumbria presenter who interviewed one of the managers. I love the Cumbrian accent, by the way.
Oh, it's great,
I love it.
It.
He had a glint in his voice. He said, this could be our year.
Yeah.
This could be the year Workington have a cup run.
Walsh is the most optimistic man you've ever met in your life, mind you.
He's got a great voice.
He's brilliant. I love him to bits. He's the top
player. He was optimistic after the playoff final last year as well.
Yeah.
So
through the tears.
Yeah.
They are playing Matlock at a bit of a tough time, though, for Workington, because Matlock are on decent form. I think they've won 3 out of 4, if memory serves me correctly.
Good memory, you, Aaron.
And, I do. It's not an easy place to go. You know, it's...
In all the years we've been doing this show for, in all those years, Matlock have never had a good cup run, I don't think.
No,
I can't think of him ever getting this far. Good point, mate. But
no, I don't mean that in a
No, it's true. But he's both these sides, I would quite happily see in the first round proper.
Yeah,
and go,
absolutely.
Good on you.
I've got a soft spot for
Matlock. I think working to need it a bit more to, again, just kick that start their season a little bit. I think they'd be more up for it than Matlock would be.
I think it could be a score draw again, and then midweek
Workington.
How can you say Workington are going to be more up for it than Matlock?
Just
you
again,
can't.
Well, like, since you've seen what
you just did.
Oh, you did as well.
I thought I'd heard it somewhere before.
Tie of the round.
This is what I'm calling tie of the round.
Spennymoor Town against Charlotte. There's an upset here, isn't there?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Two teams playing in black and white, and one of them has to play in an away kit, and it won't be Spennymoor.
No, I think Spennymoor, this will be where the big upset comes in this weekend. Spennymoor are going to be a lot more up for it.
Aaron's shaking his head vigorously. Have him, lads.
Surely are a very, very, very good side.
But they're away.
They get
they're
results.
Away.
Oh,
a team
journey
with,
and all this.
With Gateshead players in it.
They do longer journeys every other week. Honestly, Chorley are, for me, one of the best teams in the National League North this year. Not pretty, but, you know, they've got a good squad. They dig in at it and they grind out results in, all right, Spennymoor. We'll put up a fight.
Surely, I've watched them play a couple of times a season. Very solid. Very solid in their attitude. Very solid in the way they're disciplined.
Just to add, that's the end of the third qualifying round preview in the FA Cup. Like we said, they've got a couple of interviews in the Division 1 show. Just to say, I think we've got a very good chance this season of getting a lot of sides through to the fourth qualifying round.
Yes.
Going through them ties there, even Spennymoor, I think we've got a good chance.
Ben, let's not get ahead of ourselves, because we have three
teams.
Thing is, we have three teams through the second round proper last year,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to match that. I'd be astounded if we get three through the first round.
It's cup games, though, isn't it? And cup games sling up, I won't say surprises, I would say eye-openers, where they don't really surprise you. Because you're half expecting them to do well.
This is good.
Lancaster could be one of those teams.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say.
I don't think Lancaster would do it at all. I don't think they got a cat in house chance.
No, they would not. If they ended up beating Kidderminster, and I've already said that Kidderminster have beaten them, it wouldn't surprise you because of the type of metal that they have.
What would be a good, with the teams we've got left in the competition, what would be a good number to get through to the first round proper?
Two.
You know, 2-3. You've had it for the last couple of years.
2 or 3 is about the average, isn't it?
Yeah.
I
think looking at the draw, obviously you have to get lucky in the fourth qualifying round, but there's no reason why even 4 couldn't make it this year.
And that is the end of this month's Evo Stick NPL show for the month of September in the year ending 2016.
That went quite
there
well,
will
didn't
never
it?
Be an episode like this. ever again. That is both mathematically correct. In fact, it's just fact. Thank you to Andrew Simpson for joining us.
Problem.
Thank you to Roy Sewell.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you to James Hayes.
Thank you.
Thank you to Ian Burke.
If I knew how to say thank you in binary, I would do.
Ones and zeros, mate. And thank you to Aaron Flanagan.
Cheers.
NPL Facebook group, one plug.
Facebook.com/groups/NPL or on Twitter at the NPL group.
So from everyone here at the Heating Hot, we wish you all a fond farewell and a big good luck to all our sides in the third round qualifying. We hope you all win, even those who are playing each other. Goodbye.
EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.